welcome to Unity Presbyterian Online. Today in worship, Pastor David talks about being a good and faithful servant. Let's listen.
On this Visioning Sunday, I would like to begin with a quote that I really resonate with. The quote says, "Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God." Yes, today we are talking about one's talents. I want you to think of what talents you possess. I mean, your unique abilities and gifts and opportunities that kind of make you you. I mean, when thinking about ourselves, I bet we can recognize that every one of us has some unique talent. There are some people who are exceptionally gifted athletically. Others have the ability to speak and to memorize really easily. Some people have a way with words, and they can use those words through a note or a careful saying to completely brighten someone's day. Others, I wonder if you've known people like this, they just have a knack for bringing people together. And they have a way, a talent, of focusing a group's energy towards one common purpose. Yes, we all have talents. You watching today, you have talents. And I want us to realize as we begin this sermon today that your talent is a gift from God. And your gift back to God is then using your talent for God's purposes, to expand God's kingdom here in the world. Yes, that's going to be really the theme of today. Now, what we don't want to do is we don't want to squander our talents. We don't want to have wasted talent. Let me give you a bit of a silly example of what that might look like. In middle school, I signed up for the track team. I'd never done track before, but I thought, I'll give it a try. And that first week, they have you try all the events just to see if who's good at what. Well, to my surprise and to my coach's surprise, I found out that I was kind of naturally gifted with the ability to do hurdles. You know, where you're running on the track and then you're jumping over something, you're hurdling over something. I had no idea. I'd never done them before, but I did them quite well. So the coach said, okay, I'm gonna put you, after the first week, I'm going to put you with the kind of first team, and you're going to run hurdles, because I had that, I guess, natural ability. Well, then the second week happened, and I'm a bit ashamed to say that I decided that I would rather be lazy, and I would rather go home after school and watch TV on the couch than really do a whole season of track. And so I showed up, and I told my coach I quit, and then I went home and watched TV. That's a classic example of squandering one's talents. And now, middle school track, though, that's a pretty low-risk example. But I'm sure you can think of others, people you know, or maybe in yourself, where you see potential, you see ability, but for one reason or another, you've seen that potential not realized, or that ability squandered. Yes, when we're talking about talents, God-given talents and abilities, we need to begin by recognizing we all have a choice then of what to do with those talents. Who do we use them for? Do we use them for the good of the world, the common good, or just to enrich ourselves? And do we nurture those talents? Do we seek to grow and fine-tune those talents, or do we in some way just kind of waste that potential? Yes, today we're talking about your God-given talents. Jesus has a parable about this. It's the parable that Bailey just shared, and that's the scripture that I want to guide our conversation today as we explore the meaning of a person's God-given talents. Here's the way that Jesus begins this parable. It comes from Matthew 25. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted," I want you to pay attention to that word, we're going to come back to it, "he entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. All right, let's begin with definitions. What is a talent? Well, the way that we generally use the word talent, it's a unique ability. It's a unique gift that a person possesses. I mean, think of a talent show. You bring the best of what makes you unique to a talent show to put on display for others. That's not the way that this parable is talking about talents. No, actually, in Greek, which is what this parable was originally written in, that word talent had a specific meaning. That word talent in Greek is talanton, and it's a specific measurement of money, about 180,000 denarii, which we don't use that today. We use dollars, and so we don't really know, okay, that sounds like a lot, you know, but what is that? That's about a lifetime's worth of income. So one talent, 180,000 denarii, about a lifetime's worth of income. What we see then is that the master in this story, who goes on to represent God, spoiler alert, the master of this story, God, is abundantly wealthy, absurdly wealthy to have all of these talents of gold. But the story is not really about the master. Now, the story is about these three servants, because the master decides to leave. He goes on a journey, and he entrusts his servants with a lifetime's worth of gold. And that's why we want to come back to that word entrust again. What does it mean for the master, for God, to entrust the servants with this absurd amount of wealth? Well, if you're going to entrust someone with something, you are really putting your own trust in that person, your own belief in that person, to then keep safe or to protect whatever it is that you are entrusting them with. And that's what we see here in this story. The master is entrusting his wealth to these three servants. The first servant is given five talents of gold, five lifetimes worth of gold. The second servant is given two talents of gold, and then the third servant is given one talent of gold. What I want you to notice, though, is that each person, although they're given an absurd amount of gold, they're given no instructions for what to do with it. Now, here's where we need to start putting ourselves into this parable a little bit, because you are supposed to be represented by these servants. If God is the master, then you are these servants. And it's as if God has gone on a journey. I mean, that's not really true. God is present here. God is here today, and God is with you. But in the framework of this story, this parable, it's as if God has left, right? Because you can't see God right now. You're not always aware of God in your day-to-day life. It's like God has gone on a journey. But God will come back. The master will return from the journey. But before God left, God has entrusted you, the servants, with talents. Now, yes, I realize that in the Greek here, in this story, Jesus was using this parable to talk about wealth, because that's what the word talanton really meant. But I think for our purposes, we can expand this parable beyond just wealth and finances and gold. We can expand it to really encompass all that that word talent means, because God has entrusted you with unique talents, with unique abilities, with unique opportunities in this life that other people don't have. Yes, God has given you really a unique way to live that's different than other people. And God has entrusted those with you, but has not given you specific instructions with what to do with your talents. So I hope that you are putting yourself within the servant's story here, because that is who represents us. God is hoping that the servants are responsible for the talents that he has entrusted them with. Let's see what they do next. The story continues. It says, the man who had received five talents went at once and put his money to work. So he put his talents to work, and he gained 5 more talents. So also the one with 2 talents of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. All right, servant one puts his money to work. He puts what God has given him to good work in the world and ends up doubling what he has from 5 to 10 talents. Servant number two also puts to work what God has given him and ends up doubling what he has from 2 to 4 talents. Servant three, well, he takes what God had given him, what the master had given him, and he buries it. He buries it. He doesn't do anything with it. And it does not then expand or grow or really help much of anything. So the first two servants, that's who I want to focus on for a moment, because they put their talents to work. And what I think this parable is trying to share with us is then, because of that, they were able to expand God's influence in the world. They doubled what they had, which again, we're not thinking just financially. We're thinking about the gifts you have, the abilities and influence you have in the world. It would be like God says, okay, I'm leaving you with your own talents. What are you going to do with them? And how are you going to enrich the world with the talents that I have given you? And really, the parable is encouraging us to be like one of these first two servants who can say, hey, I put that to work. And not like the third servant who literally did nothing. He didn't do anything with what God had given him to expand God's kingdom or influence in the world. He literally just buried his talents. Well, let's see what the master's response to the three servants is. In verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. And his master replied, and pay attention to this sentence. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. And see, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What this story is attempting to teach us is that one day God will return. One day the master will return. Yes, one day God will return and will ask us, what have we done with the talents that God has given us, that God has entrusted us with? And the parable encourages us to view this time and then be inspired to be like one of these first two servants, because they actively used what God gave them to expand God's influence in the world. I mean, one day, God may return and say to you, hey, I gave you the ability to speak with charisma and confidence. How did you use my gift for my kingdom? Or God might come to you and say, I gave you the opportunity to have expansive influence in the world. How did you use my gift to expand my kingdom? Or I gave you an inquisitive mind full of wisdom and knowledge. How did you use my gift for the good of my kingdom? The parable calls this a settling of accounts. Yes, God will settle accounts with each of us for what God has given us. Well, my prayer is that everybody watching today, all of us, when we see God at the end of time, will be able to say, well, God, you entrusted me with this gift, and here is how I used it. God, you entrusted me with the gift of charisma, and I used it to speak about you. Or God, you entrusted me with the gift of influence, and so I use that gift to influence the world in a more godly direction. Or God, you entrusted me with the gift of wisdom, and so I use that to help other people think about you in unique and helpful ways. So I ask again, what talents has God entrusted you with? Now, part of the fun of this life is we get to explore those talents, those unique ways that God created us. We get to explore that and have fun with then creatively using those talents for God. That's a fun part of this world that God made. And I want the focus to be there, because this parable is not meant to make us feel guilty for not doing enough with the talents that God has given us. That's not what I think God is hoping we feel when we read this parable. Instead, I think God is hoping that we are inspired to live like those first two servants. So that, I mean, imagine one day at the end of time having this conversation with God, having this settling of accounts, and then hearing from God, well done, good and faithful servant. Can you picture what that would be like? It almost takes your breath away. But that is the goal. That's the goal for each and every one of us. I want to focus just for a second on that word faithful. We're beginning today our stewardship campaign for this incoming year, for 2021, and I've titled that campaign with a theme, and it's that word faithful. What does that word faithful mean? Well done, good and faithful servant. How is the servant faithful? Well, the word faithful means to be loyal or devoted to a particular cause. So a spouse can be faithful to his or her spouse by being loyal and devoted and steadfast to that spouse. You and I can be faithful to God by being wholly devoted in our lives to God. Yes, well done, good and faithful servant. That sets for us out the goal of what we want to be like in this world. We want to be people of faith. We want to be faithful. And God goes on and he says, you have been faithful with a few things, and I will then put you in charge with many things. Or you have been trustworthy with a few things. Or you've been wholly devoted to me with a few things. And so I'm going to trust you with more. Another way to say that is God saying, okay, I gave you a little bit to see how you would do, to see how you would use those gifts for the good of the world. And I see that I can trust you, and I'm going to give you more influence to produce hopefully more good in the world. This is the feel-good part of the parable. It's the inspiration of what God wants us to aspire to, so we can hear those words ring in our ears, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you ready for the not-so-feel-good part? That's what comes next, and it's in response to that third servant, the one who buried his talents. Here's how the master responds to that servant. Then the man who had received one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, meaning the ones who squander, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I warned you, right, that this was the not-so-feel-good part of the parable. And there's a reason for that. This is really the cautionary tale. This is the warning that Jesus is providing his people. He gives us the warning to, hey, don't be like that third servant. And on the flip side, he tries to inspire us to be like those first two servants. But that third servant took what God had given him, the talents, abilities, or opportunities in life that he was given, and he chose to just bury his talents. Maybe he was ashamed of his talents. Maybe he was afraid to use his talents, but he didn't use what God had given him. Now, it's worth noting here that parables often play to the extremes to get our attention. And that's what is happening here in this parable. And so we shouldn't be too concerned at the character of the master. Here at the end, he seems like such a harsh man. But that's simply drawing out the parallels, the extremes of really what the master treats his people like in this parable. But remember, the reason that Jesus is sharing this at all is to teach us how to use the time that we are given between now and when we meet God face to face. And the encouragement is to simply be responsible with what we are given, with what we are entrusted with, and to use those gifts for God's kingdom. I want to take a moment and try to get in the head of this third servant a little bit. Because if we're being honest, I'm sure some of us can see some of ourselves in that third servant. And we have some of those own tendencies to maybe hide what we've been given. And so I want you to fill in the blank. If the phrase was, the servant buried the money because, how would you finish that sentence? What is the motivation for the servant who simply buried the money? I've got a couple of guesses. Perhaps you could finish the sentence by saying, the servant buried the money because he was scared to act. I mean, he admits it much as much, right? He says, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. And so I was scared of you, and so I chose not to use what you'd given me because I was afraid I might lose some of it. But what this parable is teaching us is that living life in fear is no way to live a life of faith. Or you could end the sentence like this. The servant buried the money because he was risk averse. And this could be. He didn't want to risk the principal of his master's money. He was taking the safe approach. But again, what this parable is teaching is that there's a difference between being cautious and being sensible. And here in this parable, we recognize that there is some inherent risk in living your life for God. There is some risk inherent in living a faith-filled life. And a life that's dependent on faith. But that's actually a sensible risk to take. It's a sensible risk to live a bold life of faith for God. And to be risk adverse and not really put yourself out there for God, this parable would discourage against. This third servant offers just this cautionary tale, encouraging us to not squander our own opportunities that we are given to impact God's kingdom. But to really put that more in the positive, what this parable is teaching us is that the Lord has gifted each one of us with so much, right? The talents that God has given us are God's gift to us. And then we are able to joyfully use them for God's purposes in the world. I mean, I wonder sometimes, if God is watching us and thinking, oh, I created you with this really unique gift, and I'm so interested to see how you're going to use it. It's like raising a child. And when that child begins to grow, you begin seeing that child have a unique affinity for certain areas and show real gifts in other areas. And as a parent, you watch that child and you just wonder, I wonder how you're going to use these gifts. I'm so excited to see how you develop and benefit the world with these gifts. I believe that's how God looks at us. God has created all of us very uniquely, and I think God is eager to see how we use what God has given us. God's watching with anticipation, saying, oh, I wonder how you're going to use my gift. And so may we be inspired to live our lives like those first two servants lived theirs, because they did all they could to use what God had entrusted them with to make the world a better and brighter place. And at the end of time, they were able to hear these words that we all want to hear echo in our lives. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.